spend the night at a boy's house.
What? When I think of the 9.5 months that I had Amber in my womb, and now she wants to spend the night at a boy's house?
She just loves to text me.
Oh, and since Amber comes up, she had posted something on Facebook, and I just want to make that as a clear announcement on this show. She had posted that apparently in Oklahoma, you are going to need to get written consent from your father to have an abortion performed.
That is one of many crazy laws.
They've also, I don't know if it passed, but they're also trying to pass a law or a whatever it's called. I can't think right now. I've been up a long time. Where it immediately will start. It'll take effect if making abortion completely illegal in the state of Oklahoma, because it's still technically illegal, but because of Roe versus Wade,
right?
You know, it's not. But at the state level, it's illegal. Federally, it's not, so it nullifies the state level. But they're putting a bill, that's what it's called. They're trying to pass a bill that will immediately take effect and make it illegal again if Roe versus Wade is ever overturned in the Supreme Court.
Which really shows you what Republicans are gunning for with Trump and White House.
Yes.
Meanwhile, we also just signed our brand new mayor, governor, just signed a bill for a no permit carry.
Yes, I saw that. But for this abortion thing, I just want everybody to know, I will write a letter for anybody for 10 fucking bucks.
Nice. Okay. Nice. That's the business.
Let's slip Bunny some money.
Yeah.
Can you write one for me and my husband and my 17 kids?
Yeah, write one for me in case I want to get an abortion.
Sure.
You have 4 children that have uteruses and might want to get an abortion one day. 5 if Maxwell can get a uterine transplant.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He does not. But he's still 7, so he might in the future. You never know. So I'm just saying, you should support our children's rights to kill fetuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, kids, just because how everybody's raising them, kids are just going to cut their penises off just to be cool.
I mean, if they want to make abortion illegal, I really feel like somebody needs to introduce a bill making vasectomy is mandatory for all pubescent, boys until the time that they have passed whatever and they've gotten married and they've declared that they absolutely want children.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to get a vasectomy and reverse it than it is to remember to take a pill every day or completely rely on the woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? So why can't we just do that? You don't want us to have abortions? Then let's take the men off the table completely, and we won't have abortions because we won't have unplanned pregnancies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll eliminate everything. You don't have a baby unless you want one, right? There's no babies produced from rape. There still will be rape, but there's no babies produced from rape. So that's not even an option, you know?
There are no babies produced from rape.
You what?
There are no babies produced from rape.
But there will not be babies produced from rape if all men had vasectomies.
Okay.
I mean, there still will be rape, but women will not have to suffer the fact that they're carrying a child that they don't want from a traumatic event.
Yes.
You know? They would just have to deal with the trauma, not a child on top of that.
Yes.
Especially if they're in these states where abortion's illegal, or they're in a state where they can't access safe abortions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really feel like this is what we should do.
You can absolutely get on the soapbox right now, because I do not have a lot written about this movie. Absolutely fine. Act 3, Bunny!
Act 3! I don't think we ever actually did an official We're Back.
I can talk about Mardi Gras and how today's Jensen Ackles' birthday and how he's been crowned the king. He's the Bacchus Lee of the parade.
Yeah.
Him and his family showed up yesterday in NOLA. That's the hip kids' way of saying New Orleans.
Yeah.
Apparently, I don't fucking know. So they arrived yesterday. He went to a children's hospital today, and they crowned him with this little paper crown. And somebody was like, "Oh, it looks like he won the first round of Nailed It." It had like tulle around it and a little veil in the back, and it was super cute.
Yeah.
And so like he went and visited all these children at the children's hospital, and it was really nice.
Your new glasses look really good.
I know, right?
I really like them.
I like them
too. Yeah.
He's been crowned king.
Sweet.
Cool.
And awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Which one is this?
Jensen Ackles. It's the one that played in My Bloody Valentine, 10-inch Hero, the Superman show. What was that called?
Lois?
No. The one where you were like, I was like, oh, they said no tights, no flights. And you were like, they're going to break that. Smallville. Yeah, he was in Smallville. He was also in... there's a bunch of things that he was in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never watched any of them. He's there with his beautiful wife and his children.
He's the one who's not Jared Padalecki.
Yeah.
Whom you know from the biggest thing he ever did, of course. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's New York Minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
An amazing thrill ride.
Yeah, yeah, an incredible roller coaster of a movie.
Yeah, so, you know, because I can bring...
Genie is out here. Are we officially going to start the show?
Oh, yeah. Hey, and we're
sorry.
Back.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
You can keep going, but let's just start this.
and we're back. Let's get to Act 3. And then I was like, oh, wait, you want me to talk some more? Totally talk some more.
You know, we did do that and we're back. I'm pretty sure we did.
But
no, then I did Act 3.
My bad. Genie, are you okay?
Genie, are you okay?
Okay.
All
right.
Hello.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Are you okay? Am I okay?
Yeah, well, at break, see, Steve and I were having a pleasant conversation, and then we heard you get attacked by robots. At least I assume.
We heard a lot of noise. We heard a lot of noise.
I was on my phone.
We heard a baby cry.
Oh, yeah, it was on my phone.
So you didn't birth a robot alien baby?
Yes.
Okay.
That was me.
Wait, hold on. Are you really Genie?
Wow.
You might have been pod.
Are you a pod person? Wait, don't ask that. Because then she would just say yes.
Yeah,
or no. She's not
going to cop.
They're not going to tell me.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. Pod- But I'm okay, not. Well, but I'm not. I'm not a pod person.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna make sure Bunny watches out for you, just in case. Alien baby for
evidence.
I'm not evidence, but you wait till you listen to this, Bunny. You wait.
Uh-huh.
I've seen.
Okay. Well, we wanted to make sure you were okay, Genie.
I was okay. I was just on my phone. I was watching a video, and I went, oh, and then I turned it off.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. They probably think this is something very strange. Why is there a baby crying? Oh, and then sometimes my phone just goes off by itself. Yeah.
Just to be clear, though, Bunny will have to get a sample of Genie's blood and then boil it.
Oh, I think it would be easier to do urine.
No, I think it's blood. Yeah. That's how they do it in the thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you for...
I'm perfectly fine. Yep. Sitting here eating pizza, getting high. There you
awesome.
Go. Okay, here's Bunny. You guys are crazy.
Hello?
Welcome back, Bunny.
Hi, Bunny. Your wife was giving us a lot of details, a suspicious amount.
You're still suspicious?
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly
so I've seen the thing. You're going to need to get a sample of her blood and boil it.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. Yeah. It's not nearly... Yeah, she didn't understand. It's not nearly as fun to boil urine.
Yeah, yeah. So we just gotta check... Be sure and look out for anything suspicious. Like if you catch her in the bathroom going, "Bee boo boo bop, boo boo bop," you know, something like that. Be suspicious of that too.
That is always a dead giveaway.
Yeah. Anyway, just to be safe, I'm going to do it again. Because now I'm doubting myself. And we're back again for more of the Pope on Film. Act 3, Bunny!
Act 3!
Yes, my friends, my lovers, my unconventional conventionists. It is time once again for the long-awaited third act of the Pope on Film podcast, wherein we finally and eventually get around to discussing our tasty, bite-sized, perfect for on-the-go listening, contain soy, movie of the week.
Yes.
And this week, we finally say goodbye to the 2019 Oscar season with a look at a biopic that is either really great or a fluffy shit sandwich.
Yes.
Or maybe a combination of the two. Yes, it's time to discuss the 2018 biopic or biopic or straight washed travesty of justice, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
It's not John Cena. Why did you?
I don't know.
Why did you start?
Look, doing I have been John up Cena's since 5 song? In the morning, and you know what? I set my fucking alarm, but my alarms are set for Tuesdays and Thursdays. Because that's when I get up at 5 in the morning. It's okay. A Friday. And okay. my brain's internal clock was like, wake up, bitch, it's 5:03 and your alarm didn't go off. And I looked at my phone and I was like, that's weird. My alarm didn't go off.
Damn.
That's okay. I'll wait until my alarm goes off.
Oh.
And then I woke up at 5:13 and decided, oh, fuck, my alarm won't be going off until 5:40.
Every time that you wake up early, does Maxwell just wake up with
you? Okay, look, has the last 2 months. I think I may have woken up when I was getting in the closet and getting that baby swing and the baby rocker.
Because.
But that was at 5:40. So he was almost 6 o'clock. 5:50.
Okay.
It may have been 5:50. Okay. No, it was 5:40.
Because I woke up this morning. He was laying on the couch reading a book.
Yeah, he asked me to get on the TV. And I told him no, because you were going to be up.
Well, apparently he thought that, you know, it's a Friday and I don't have to go to school on Fridays. And I had to tell him, no, you do.
I told him that you were going to get up to get him breakfast and get up ready for school.
Yeah. They're talking about Alice.
So, but yeah, no, he didn't wake up until I was finished putting everything away closer to 5:50. That's when he came out of the room and he looked at me and said, Mom, what are you doing up so late at night? And he said, honey, it's early in the morning. Work. Oh, okay. Have a good day. He's like, I'm not leaving yet. You have stuff in the car.
Yeah.
But the last 2 times he's gotten up. So I'm sorry.
It's okay. Now, Bunny,
yes.
Before we dive into whether or not this week's movie is any good, I want to skip ahead and talk about the next 2 weeks of episodes.
Okay.
We have done 3 weeks of Oscar episodes, and I'm sick and tired of talking about goddamn Oscars.
We have Oscar stench all over us.
Yeah. Vice sucked. Green Book is racist. And now Bohemian Rhapsody. That's 3 weeks of Oscars. I, for one, am sick of it. I'm sick of the Oscars. Sick of the whole Oscar season. It's over. Spitui.
Yes.
Good fucking riddance. But next week, we will be doing the 2019 Academy Award winner for Best Animated Movie, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Yes, it won an Oscar. Yes, it won Best Animated Movie at the Oscars. But we are not watching it because of the Oscars. Because we're done with the Oscars. No, we're watching it because it's just a damn good movie is why.
Okay. It would be nice for a damn good movie. I'm ready for a damn good movie.
Yeah. We don't even need to mention the Oscars. In fact, next week when we're doing Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, let's just not mention the Oscars at all. Because I'm done with them. Aren't you done with them, Bunny?
I am done with them.
I'm done with it. And to be clear, the week after Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse,
We are definitely going to watch some old film, some strange old film. I don't know what film, and it doesn't really matter. I'm just sick of all the new recent movies we've been doing.
Oh, okay.
I love my AMC A-list membership, but I don't want it to take over the podcast.
Yes.
I don't want to just be doing all of these new movies that just came out and be topical and shit. I want to go back to some of the weird-ass stuff we have done.
Oh,
so
yes.
I don't know what we're going to do after Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but it's not going to be new. I can tell you that.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we'll figure it out. Funny.
Yes.
Let's do some stats.
Okay.
Bohemian Rhapsody is a 2018 Oscar-winning film starring Rami Malek and, I'm assuming, other people that are not Rami Malek.
Yes.
The film came out in the beginning of November of last year. It cost roughly $50 to $55 million to make. Probably that is all royalties. And it has so far made a little over $861 million. That's not including the Oscar win has brought the movie back into theaters.
Yes.
Including a special sing-along version at some theaters. With,
okay.
On the bottom of the screen. Which is surprising because it came out on DVD and Blu-ray February 12th. So it's on DVD and it's on Blu-ray and it's also still playing in first run theater. So that's good.
Yes.
Bohemian Rhapsody is now with that $861 million. Bohemian Rhapsody is now the number one highest grossing musical biopic ever.
Number one.
Bunny.
Yes.
Can you guess the remainder of the top five?
Biopics?
The remainder of the top five highest grossing biopics. I'm going to tell you now you won't get number four, but the other ones, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to guess.
Oh, Lordy.
Number one is Bohemian Rhapsody. It beat number two. It beat the former number one.
Top-grossing biopics. Good Lord.
Musical biopic.
Doors has to be there somewhere?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
I'm fucked then on this list. Dewey Cox has to be there?
No, based on real-life people.
Dewey Cox wasn't real?
No.
Ring of Fire, Walk the Line, Johnny Cash.
God damn it.
Okay, Natasha has jumped into this. What was your guess, Natasha?
What is the name of it? Is it Walk the Line?
Yes, it is Walk the Line.
Is it on there?
It is number three, Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash biopic that came out in 2005. It is the number three highest grossing.
I didn't know that. That anything starring Joaquin Phoenix was allowed to be any sort of box office draw.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Sorry, I didn't think it could possibly be that.
I'm hiding your list. My list.
Oh, you want me to guess?
Yeah, if you want to guess, if you want to jump into this.
I'm all tapped out, man.
Okay. The funny thing is that, like, number two was very popular. I don't think the three of us saw it at all.
What was
number
the Ray five, Charles one?
There you go. Ray. That is number five. The Ray Charles biography. That was up for Best Picture. It might have won Best Picture for all effort.
I'm sorry. How awesome was it that I didn't know the title? Okay. How did I not know the title to the Ray Charles movie? Ray.
Was Yeah. Yeah, Natasha didn't know Walk the Line was called Walk the Line. She was just yelling out a Johnny Cash.
I really was.
Yeah. A girl named Sue. A boy named Sue.
Boy named Sue.
Yeah.
But didn't they do one about the three dancers, the three singer ladies? What's that? Anybody one with that? That
Dream
starred
Girls?
Jennifer Aniston? Oh, that wasn't a biopic, though, was it?
Well, it's not in the top five. Whatever it is. Okay, there are two left. Number two and number four.
Did I say Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, I knew who you meant. Hudson.
Hudson.
You meant Hudson. Oh, okay. Me. Number two.
Okay.
The former number one highest grossing musical biopic.
No.
You guys have all missed this one.
No. No.
What?
Real life, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
real life.
Thank fuck God.
Real life.
Okay.
What? What? No.
I thought you were going to go somewhere I didn't want you
no,
to go.
No, no, no. The former number one highest grossing biopic, musical biopic of all time, came out in 2015, and it was called Straight Outta Compton.
Okay.
The NWA movie.
Yeah.
That was
I didn't know that was a biopic. I didn't know what the hell it was.
His son played in that.
Yeah, it was the true life story of NWA. Ninjas with attitude.
Until this one, but Bohemian Rhapsody, I've never watched any type of music biopic.
Oh, so you didn't see the number four highest grossing biopic of all time? The 2018 Christian film I Can Only Imagine, which made $83 million in the box office? You didn't go see the Christian film I Can Only Imagine, which technically is the number four highest grossing musical biopic of all time? It's all about some person who had some life-threatening disease but still managed to write a hit song for a Christian music band. Apparently, it made $83 million and it came out last year and I haven't fucking heard of it. But it's enough to have made more money than
why?
Ray.
You know why you haven't heard of it? Christian community like I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew that was
going to be I am a good Christian woman, and I would have thought that was number one, but, you know, everybody else keeps.
Yeah.
Yes.
The list is quite impressive.
What's number three? I want to know number three.
Oh, Walk the Line. Johnny Cash.
Oh, I guess that one.
Yeah. Number four is I Can Only Imagine, the weird Christian movie, and number five is Ray. Straight Outta Compton was number one, but then he was beaten by Bohemian Rhapsody.
Fucking white people. Well, probably the gays, too.
Musical biopics don't make a lot of money. So I can tell you that, like, the number four highest grossing film only made $83 million, which goes to show you how much people go see biopics. You saw a preview for what?
Mr. Robot. It was literally just dude, like, with a hoodie. Like,
yeah.
And it was like, Mr. Robot season four?
Sure.
Returns, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I imagine they're...
I looked at him and I was like, Freddy?
Yeah, I imagine they're advertising that up the ass.
Oh, fuck yeah, they are. They're going to shove that down your throat just like Freddy did his cock with his lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yeah.
Funny, the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, I find it to be difficult to talk about because the music is great and the star is incredible, but is the movie great? Funny, what are your thoughts on Bohemian Rhapsody?
It's serviceable. It's got good Queen music, which is the reason why you're watching it to begin with. Other than that, I really find a whole lot wrong with this movie. Like, a whole lot.
Well,
me personally, I don't need the star of a movie to... I don't need him to look like Freddie Mercury. I need him to put in a good performance. Okay?
Okay.
But with that being said, I really wish people would stop looking and saying he looks like fucking Freddie Mercury, because he does not look like fucking Freddie Mercury.
No, he doesn't. They made him look similar, but he doesn't look like Freddie Mercury.
And does he not always appear little?
Yeah, he looks like a tiny dude. But you see footage of
Freddie
Mercury, he always looked buff.
Yeah.
He always looked big. He neck.
Maybe what's his nuts should have spent some more time at the gym.
Yeah. And he really wasn't particularly that little. But what I was noticing is they really always shoot him from a female angle. They shoot down on him.
Yeah.
Making him appear smaller.
That would not surprise me one bit, considering that they probably wanted to do that intentionally since he was gay.
You know who they should have gotten to play Mercury? The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't he already just kind of look like Freddie Mercury? That the answer is yes.
Yes. Yes, I know. I agree. I have always had a hard time telling the two of them apart. I would always be listening to Queen and be and look at the album cover and be like, "That's The Rock, isn't it?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite Queen song is "Under Pressure." If you smell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now.
Mercury is cooking.
Here is a question that I have about the movie that I also find, you know, kind of offensive. Why in the movie did Freddie Mercury start off as a brown person and then later on finish up as a white person? Is this success? Does this success do that? Does it actually turn you white?
That's a possibility. I mean, Michael Jackson.
Yes, yes. So there may be some supporting evidence for this, but he was definitely a lot browner in the beginning of the movie, which makes no sense because Freddie Mercury, the real Freddie Mercury, somehow managed to stay the same skin tone his entire life. Well, mostly his entire life. Toward the end, he got a little pasty.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, he maintained a stable skin tone.
Yeah.
I mean, did his skin get pasty and paler because of the disease?
Later on, yes, it actually did. But not really what this movie covered.
I don't know how brown he started.
He did start pretty brown. I actually didn't think about that. That's a good takeaway. He starts off as like a fairly dark-skinned Pakistani dude, and then you see him at the end of the film, and he's just pale gay Jesus.
I don't know why they did that. If that was a conscious choice, or timing thing with shooting the film. And like seasons may have changed, and maybe what's his name, the actor?
Rami Malek.
Rami Malek. Maybe you know he got more sun because I mean they shot in different locations, so maybe got more sun earlier on, and he got less later on. I don't know. Maybe there's a actual reason behind this.
Or they could be racist cocksuckers. You know, either one is valid.
Well, I mean, but maybe they were trying to push him from like saying, okay, he's successful, he's white, he's just like you, to all the racist people out there.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people, let's face it, there are so many people out there, especially white males, who they don't realize that Freddie was an immigrant.
Yeah.
You know? They have no clue that Freddie Mercury wasn't a white man.
Yeah.
So they're sitting there. Not only that, but he's white and he was homosexual. So, like, sorry to burst your bubble, y'all. But, you know?
And he had extra teeth. He was a dentist's wet dream.
Yes.
You're going to put it back.
I imagine gay dentists really had a hard time with Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I'm just throwing out options, but.
Yeah.
I found that very odd. And the rest of the band totally Tommy Wiseau'd it. Totally Tommy Wiseau'd it. Nothing that went on with Queen at all was anybody else's fault in the band.
Yes.
Nothing. Yeah. They were a unified front of sparkly, holy goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only thing causing any kind of a problem was Freddie.
Yeah. This is a remarkably sanitized version of the story of Queen.
Yes.
This is the band-approved, authorized biography. This is the authorized biography.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, Sacha Baron Cohen from Borat was going to star as Freddie Mercury, and I was totally okay with that because I think he's a good actor, and also he can sing, and also he already kind of looks a little bit like Freddie Mercury, and I think, you know, he would do a good job. But he specifically wanted a hard R film, a gritty look at Freddie Mercury's life, while the band wanted the film to be PG.
That's an abomination.
Literally, they wanted the Queen biography to be kid-friendly, family-approved, PG. They wanted it to be the same rating as Diary of a Wimpy Kid. You know? They wanted... So Sacha Baron Cohen left the project because it's like, no, I'm not going to be in like a G-rated family look at the life of Freddie Mercury. And I got to take his... So the movie that they made ended up being PG-13, which was basically they split the difference. Okay, yeah. You guys want like a G movie. These people over here want an R movie. We'll just do PG-13 and that'll be okay for everyone. But it's my belief that if you were able to bring Freddie Mercury back to life for just one day, just like at the end of the movie AI, that if you could bring him back and you told him that he was in a movie, that Freddie Mercury would expect it to be R. That Freddie Mercury would be upset that the movie about his life was PG-13.
Yes.
He would be upset about it.
A hard R?
Yeah. That's what Borat wanted the movie to be.
What were you saying about him being from Egypt? Or his parents being from Egypt?
I believe Rami Malek's parents were from Egypt.
I told you that. He's a first generation American. His parents immigrated here from Egypt.
Yeah, and then Freddie Mercury's parents were Pakistani. Yeah.
Just tell me when you want me to throw my facts from that.
Right at the end. The reviews for this movie aren't great. It's got a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. It also has a Metacritic score of 49 out of 100. But then you look at IMDb, and their score for the movie is 8.1 out of 10. So I guess that shows that the reviews are just all over the place. In fact, it was up for Best Picture at the Academy Awards, and yet it is one of the worst reviewed movies to ever be up for Best Picture. Okay. It's the worst reviewed movie that was up for Best Picture since Incredibly Fast and... Something Fast and Close.
Yes.
I don't remember. You know which movie I'm talking about. That had like a 42% on Rotten Tomatoes. So here's my thoughts about Bohemian Rhapsody. First off, biopics always play fast and loose with the truth.
Yes.
And Bohemian Rhapsody is especially egregious. John Deacon was Queen's fourth bass player, not the first.
Okay.
A lot of frickin' bass players. Freddie Mercury's wife actually dated Brian May first. And Freddie Mercury didn't end up dating her until he was in the band.
All right.
Mike Myers plays record executive Ray Foster, the man who will always be known as the man who, yada, yada, yada. He never existed. Never existed. That's just an amalgam. The band never broke up. That's all bullshit. And the big one for me was that Freddie Mercury wasn't HIV positive before Live Aid. Or if he was HIV positive before Live Aid, he didn't know it before Live Aid.
Yeah.
Oh, and his boyfriend was never his servant. I mean, Jesus, that's like all of those things that I said, those aren't all of the things wrong with the movie, but already that's what, like 40 or 50% of the movie right there that they went ahead and just imagined.
Yes.
You know? This movie really twists the truth. Secondly, once I got a copy of the movie, I started playing my wife my favorite parts. Oh, here's the part where they record Bohemian Rhapsody. That's funny. Oh, here's the Live Aid show. Really incredible at the end. Oh, here's the part where they come up with another one, Bites the Dust. That's really great. Oh, hold on. I got to show you the part where Freddie's late. And so they end up doing We Will Rock You. That's really good. But eventually I realized that my favorite moments are all the musical moments and not any actual moments.
Yes.
In the movie, you know? Like, this movie is basically a musical, and the musical numbers are very good, but just not the rest of the movie.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. Like the music is 3 stars, the rest of the film is... That being said, though, Rami Malek absolutely deserved that Oscar. Just the other day, I stumbled upon a
Did he win an Oscar? Best actor?
Yeah, he won Best Actor for this movie.
And he deserved it.
I saw a YouTube video that put the Live Aid portion of the movie split-screened with Freddie Mercury's actual Live Aid performance at Live Aid. And it's incredible that in between the sweeping crowd shots and bizarre close-ups and stuff, Rami Malek not only gets like the facial expressions right, he gets the movements right. The way that he moves the microphone from his right hand to his left hand, and then the gesture he does with his right hand, and then the way he turns and dances, and then moves the microphone again. He does everything exactly to the letter how Freddie Mercury did it in his original Live Aid performance. And that's gotta be a bitch.
Yeah.
Because that's not like a dance that you're learning. You're learning
how he just did it. Like, Freddie Mercury was winging it up on that stage. And yet, Malek was just fucking going for it. And he learned all that. And, like, that was the first thing they shot, was that Live Aid?
Yeah,
Live Aid concert. That was the first thing that they shot when they started filming. And I'm sure that he was glad for it. Because having that knowledge in your head and hoping you don't fuck it up for that long, long as it took, they shot that last.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that had to be some pressure, you know?
Yes.
So that man fucking deserves it. Everything he went through, I listened to an interview, and everything he did, like, he deserves that.
Well, I don't know. That's feeling more of a principle thing to me. I have a hard time with a fairly unknown actor coming out of nowhere and winning an Oscar, you know?
I mean, I don't feel like he was fairly unknown, because people were, like, freaking out about him with Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in Night at the Museum. He's done voice acting.
He was in Night at the Museum. He was Akhmen-Ra, fourth king of the fourth king, ruler of modern Egypt.
Uh-huh.
And he's done a bunch of voice acting. So, I mean, he's not completely unknown. And especially with Mr. Robot, he started to get more popular. I mean, sure, he's no, Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. And it's not just, there's more that he did for this film, though. For a really long time. And he started training for this film for a year before they started filming.
Yeah, he wore the fake dentures for a year before.
The prosthetics, he put them in a year before they started filming to wear them and get used to them and learn how to talk and learn how to sing.
Johnny Depp talked the way that he does in Ed Wood because he wasn't used to the dentures, and so he put them on and he had a lisp. And, you know, so he said, okay, I guess this is how Ed Wood talks in this movie. It wasn't like this is a conscious choice of me as an actor. It was I am not used to these dentures, and this is how I'm gonna talk.
It was the expedient choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, how did you do that? Dentures. Lost my pearlies in the war. And then he Rami Malek also carried a half mic.
Oh, everywhere. He carried that thing everywhere he went so that he could get used to it and learn how to move with it more fluidly.
Yeah.
So that he could get those moves right. Like, and he said he carried that thing all over London, and he would have the mic on it so that people wouldn't get scared, because walking around with a half mic is just basically a metal rod, which can frightening nowadays. So he would sometimes leave the mic on it, and but he'd walk around with that thing all over. Everywhere he went, it went with him, so that he could get used to it and try to get the moves down like Freddie had.
Yeah. So it's like, dude, you put in a lot of work for this movie, and I appreciate that, and I think you deserve that Oscar.
He did gain like 60 pounds. What Sucknuts did.
Oh, yeah.
For Vice.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't.
God, I hate that pretentious asshole.
No, maybe we should
keep
him. I mean, he didn't act well, but he did gain 40 pounds. Right? I thought for sure they were going to give it for him for that exact reason.
Right. Yeah.
Like, but we're going to give this to Christian Bale because he gained and or lost weight. Like, that's not a good reason to give someone an Oscar, you know?
Yeah.
But let's talk about the one thing of Bohemian Rhapsody that no one is talking about, and that's the goddamn director.
Okay.
I read a wonderful tweet about the Oscars, and it said, you know, this is everyone who won an Oscar for Bohemian Rhapsody, and I'd like to thank all of my team, and then in parentheses, don't mention the director. I want to thank, of course, the band Queen. Don't mention the director. I also want to thank my mom. Don't mention the director. Craft Services did well, too. Because the director is Bryan Singer.
Yes.
And he did X-Men. He did X-Men 2. He did The Usual Suspects. Then he went and did Superman Returns. But then after that, he went back to X-Men. He helped make X-Men First Class and X-Men Days of Future Past. And mm-hmm. he has made a number of movies, The Usual Suspects.
I know. He's such a scumbag, and that's like one of my absolute favorite movies.
Yeah. He first his predilections became clear for the first time in 1997 when some parents sued because they were supposed to be filming a shower scene for the movie Apt Pupil, and apparently Bryan Singer came along and said, okay, lose that underwear. And the kids were like, but we're all underage, and we were told that, you know, you'd just be shooting us from the waist up, and we'd be keeping our underwear on. And Bryan Singer said, nope, take that underwear off. I'm going to start filming you right now with this camera. And also with this other camera of mine that I'm just going to be filming here for purely not at all creepy reasons. It's
yes.
for continuity. Let's just go with it. Take off all of your clothes, underage boys. And so parents sued, and it made the press. But then Bryan Singer came along and said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, first time movie maker. And, you know, there were just some crossed wires and, you know what? Let's just settle this out of court, and everything's fine. You can trust me. I'm a successful director. So then in 2014, all of these crazy stories started surfacing about these drug and sex parties that Bryan Singer would be hosting in his palatial estate.
Yes.
That he get all of these underage boys and bring them to his mansion and give them a bunch of drugs, and then they just have sex parties. And more people came forward, and more people came forward. And it's remarkable how many people in Hollywood just said, oh, I have worked with Bryan Singer on a movie and can tell you that he definitely didn't do sex parties. You know, it was basically Hollywood going, we must protect this man, for he makes us money.
Yes.
Money. So Hollywood just came around and protected him. My favorite part was when author Bret Easton Ellis, who wrote the novel Less Than Zero and has worked a lot in Hollywood, just came out and said, hey, I'm a novelist. So I'm not a part of the Hollywood. I'm not a part of the Hollywood system. So I'm successful, and I just don't give a fuck. Yeah, I've been to these drug and sex parties. Bryan Singer loves underage boys. Underage boys and drugs. I'm a successful New York Times best-selling author, and I'm coming out in public saying, Bryan Singer, drug sex parties, underage teens. It's actually happening. You can trust me. Because I'm not a part of the system. But Hollywood, again, just sort of glanced over it. Then more allegations came out this year in 2009 about Bryan Singer and underage boys. And Bohemian Rhapsody was up for a GLAAD award. But GLAAD said, this movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, oh, up for so many awards. And, oh, wait, who directed this? Bryan Singer? Oh, fuck you, Bohemian Rhapsody. And took away all of the nominations and all of that sort of stuff. And I just think that because the movie was about Queen, and because of the Hollywood system and the way that it works, this movie was up for Oscars and no one talked about the director.
Yeah.
It's as if this movie was just directed by the ghost of Freddie Mercury, if you believe the fucking press and Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You would think that the spirit of music directed it. This movie was actually directed by the wind from Pocahontas.
The wind?
The wind. Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? The wind just came along and blew the movie into existence. And the crazy thing is that, Harvey Weinstein was taken down because of an in-depth article. The same people who took down Harvey Weinstein and took down all of these famous people in the hashtag MeToo generation said, hey, as long as we're talking about famous males who are abusing their power, this isn't just a female thing. We're coming for you, Bryan Singer. Because you're, abusing your power in the exact same way. And so we're coming for your ass. And he was so panicked about it that he barely directed this goddamn movie. There are horror stories about the making of Bohemian Rhapsody. Like this was like a... The Day the Clown Cried level insanity,
yeah.
Making this movie. That it was like weeks behind schedule, months behind schedule, massive amounts over budget. Bryan Singer wouldn't show up, or when he would show up, he would show up hours late, or sometimes he would just be shooting way later than people wanted to, and they'd be up crazy hours the day. Or sometimes he would show up and he'd be quote-unquote sick, or sometimes he would show up and get into like yelling matches with the actors. I read a story somewhere of him and Rami Malek getting into it so much that like Bryan Singer's throwing shit.
Yeah.
And like the set. And then sometimes he'd show up and he'd just stay in his dressing room and refuse to come out and direct. And eventually he just quit. Like 2 or 3 weeks before the movie was even made, Bryan Singer just said, hey, we need to stop filming this movie. Because I need to go to America because my family's sick. My mom or something. I don't know. I'm making it up. So it doesn't matter. We need to stop filming. And the studio's like, we can't stop filming. We're already like a month behind on this movie. this is wildly unprofessional, Brian. We need to keep filming this. And so Brian's like, okay, well, guess what? Yeah, fine. I'll totally stay here and get me a plane ticket to America. And she just took the fuck off and went to America, just stopped directing. So they had to hire someone to finish the movie, and they finished like about 3 weeks of the movie. But Hollywood being Hollywood, like, oh, yeah, Bryan Singer was horrible. He was a horrible person to work with, and we hated it. But also, his name makes money, so we're keeping his name on this poster. He is still the director.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous that like, for any other, if this was any other movie, then this movie would not have been successful. But because this movie had the music of Queen, and it had Freddie Mercury, and it had songs we all love, that we just all just said, okay, well then, let's just not discuss this really important thing. Like, Rami Malek is amazing in this film. You know, he really worked hard, and the music is amazing, and this is a pretty good musical film. Also, maybe this film should not be celebrated because it was made by a rich gay pederast.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Like no one is talking about that. And that's fucked up. Why is no one talking about this? Anyway, that's all I have for Bohemian Rhapsody.
I don't care for it, and the further I get away from it, the less I like it.
I didn't like the name, because it's like, oh, you're going to name the movie after the band's most successful song? Excuse me, then why is this movie not called Fat Bottomed Girls?
Yes.
That's what the movie should be called.
Mm-hmm.
Fat Bottom Girl, the Freddie Mercury story.
I agree, and that would be an awesome title.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
An awesome title. But who listens to us?
Yeah, who listens to us?
They should, for how often we are goddamn right, but...
How often people come to Jack Our Style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is it for this week. Next week, we are watching Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, not because it's an Oscar winner, but just because it's a damn good movie.
Yes.
It is. It's a wonderful film. Spider-Ham, for shit's sake.
Yes!
Spider-Ham is in an Oscar award-winning movie. That's wonderful. I just washed my hands. That's why they're wet.
No other reason.
No other reason.
Okay.
I'm very excited to be discussing this, to talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That's next week. But now that I'm thinking back about this week.
Yes.
The highs and the lows and the ups and the downs. We had so much fun. Natasha fought for men getting vasectomies.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
He gave birth to an alien baby.
Robot alien baby.
Yes.
We learned about a Coney Island freak show that saved lives.
And, I love that.
Lucha Underground. And now that I'm looking back at this episode, I gotta say, this has been a pretty good episode.
This has been a damn good episode. Damn good episode.
I can't believe that. I've been here for the whole thing.
Yeah, thank you, honey. Yeah.
I was in the kitchen for the incubator babies.
Yeah, but that's fine. I love that story.
For the incubator babies. Yes, medical technology like that in a freak show. Yeah. In a freak show. It doesn't get better than that.
Because back in the day, of course it looked like a freak show thing because, hey, shut up, we're on the podcast. Come here.
And then at first you think, oh, let's gawk at these freak babies. But then you learn that the guy would get all of the money and use it to
save those babies.
Save the babies. It's like, oh, God, that's a wonderful, wonderful story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's doing it because people were like, incubators? What? In hospitals? Modern technology? No. And, and he's like, well, thank you. I'm going to save babies on my own. So, you know, and he did. Damn right he did.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Sure. So, I mean, I love the incubator babies.
Yeah, this has been a damn good episode. I concur.
This has been a damn good episode.
I concur, good sir.
So until next week, I am Bunny Williams.
And I
am Natasha.
Nice. And I am Reverend Steve, and on behalf of Bella and Maxwell and Eleanor and the loud mumbles of Auntie Lauren, I just want to say thanks for listening, and Emerald, she was on the show too. And we will see you next week, you godless heathens.
And you douche-waffles at Poopy Fist.
And remember, if you need an abortion, $10, I'll be your daddy.
Nice. Do 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 do.
You wanted $10 to do the abortion?
No, to sign off on the abortion. Like, I am the father of this child.
It's $20 to do the abortion, and I get to keep the fetus.
Yeah, nice. Hello. Yeah, turn it into a little action figure.
Yes,
fetus.
Oh, right,
do 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 do. Cut and print.